welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're going to be joined this morning by the author of Spiritual Resilience and Conversations with a Guardian Angel, Dr. Robert J. Wicks. These books are both offered from Franciscan Media. Before I invite Dr. Wicks on, I'd love to start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, today on the Feast of the Guardian Angels, we thank you so much for the protection you give each and every one of us, that we have our very own special angel to light and guide, rule and guard. And we ask you today in a very special way to help us to see that they are always with us and that we are never alone. And we ask for a special blessing and outpouring of your grace this morning upon our show and our conversation with Dr. Wicks. And we ask all of this through your Son's most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now I welcome to the show author of Spiritual Resilience and Conversations with a Guardian Angel, Dr. Robert J. Wicks. Dr. Wicks, thank you so much for coming on this morning.
It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience.
Thank you. Well, I'm so excited that we have not just one, but two books to discuss today. And hello, Holy Spirit, to be talking with you today on the Feast of Guardian Angels. When I didn't even know when we booked your visit today that you had a book entitled Conversations with the Guardian Angel. How cool is that?
It is neat. I mean, it's just wonderful to be able to speak about it on this special feast day.
Oh, very special. And we're going to, the first part of our show, the first two segments, we'll talk about spiritual resilience. And if you have any questions for Dr. Wicks, we invite you on at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And in the last two segments, we will dive into this wonderful novel, Conversations with a Guardian Angel. So Dr. Wicks, please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to write so many books. This is just two of very prolific library you have of books.
Well, most of the work that I do is helping helpers. Recently, I just returned from Beirut, Lebanon, where I worked with Marists and lay people supporting the Marists in Aleppo, Syria. They live there and work there, so they wanted a workshop on resilience, where I took not only the theme of resilience, but brought the spiritual into it. Then when I got back, I went to Kentucky to speak to physicians and nurses, many who have just returned from working on the Ebola crisis. So most of the people I deal with are physicians, nurses, psychologists, priests, nuns, educators, helpers, those who reach out to others. So that in the two books that you mentioned, Spiritual Resilience and Conversations with a Guardian Angel, my hope was to bring some of this material on resilience and strengthening your own inner life to a broader audience.
Spiritual resilience, like how, I know how I would define it, but how do you define that? And what is it that people coming to this book, Spiritual Resilience, 30 Days to Refresh Your Soul, can expect to find in there?
Well, I think spiritual resilience is the ability not only to bounce back from adversity, but even to deepen as a result of it. It's essential to becoming a better person, parent, friend, member of a spiritual community. You know, the list goes on and on. I think when you think of resilience from a spiritual vantage point, obviously you're not simply thinking of yourself. But when you're able to bounce back and go deeper, you're thinking of others as well, because one of the greatest gifts you can share with others is a sense of your own peace and inner strength, but you can't share what you don't have.
That is so true. I've seen that so often in my work as a lay minister. I'm kind of excited you're going to be helping this helper today. I have a lot of questions for you. I see that some people are a crisis can either draw you closer to God or it can push you further away. What do you think happens that draws that a person chooses to draw closer and to stay connected and try to work it through with God, while others say, I give up. You know, there's obviously no God because he let this horrible thing happen.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. And you know, the struggles and stress and trauma need not lead to us being holier people, softer people, more compassionate people. If that were so, we'd have a world full of compassionate people. So I think that the two things is, one is you want to have a sense of honesty. So you don't want to play down the pain that you're going through. You don't want to gloss it over, rationalize it, spiritualize it. It is what it is. And I think we recognize when we see that, the next question is, why did God permit this? And I remember in a case of a bomb blast on a bus, the person said, first reaction was, well, where was God in all this? And then she realized afterwards that God was with me on that bus. So first, we don't play things down. The second and other essential element is that we are open to the possibilities of where this darkness, God didn't send the darkness, but in fact was with us in the darkness. Where does this call us to? You see, in psychology, they speak about it as post-traumatic growth. And they have found that with some people, that when they have undergone great darkness or a trauma or great stress, that they experience a sense of depth that would not have been possible had the trauma not happened in the first place. Now, they're catching up to spirituality. Spirituality has long said that there is a redemptive element in suffering, not that we seek it, but when it shows up, there are things we can do with it.
I've often heard people say, I wouldn't have wanted this for myself, but I certainly can see where God did good in it, because he makes that promise in Romans 8:28 to bring good for those who love him in all circumstances.
Yeah, that's exactly right, I think. And that's what spiritual resilience is about. When I was with a young priest in New Zealand, I was doing a tour giving lectures. He was out about a year from seminary, and I asked him a question that I ask all helpers and healers after they've been out a year from their. I said, is there one profound thing that stands out for you in this, and a teachable moment? And he didn't even pause. He said, I was called to the hospital, but I wasn't quite sure who I was to see, because the young fellow who took the message didn't put the name down. He said, I went to the hospital. I saw a couple in the waiting room, in the foyer, and he was crying and she was upset. So I walked over and I said, I don't mean to be intrusive, but I'm Father so-and-so. You know, did you call for a priest? And they said, yes, we did, Father. You see, we just gave birth to twins, and one was born alive and one was born dead. He said, we then went down to the morgue. They pulled out the slab with the little child covered with a shroud. And he said, we prayed and we cried. And then we went upstairs, and it was like a resurrection experience, to the neonatal intensive care unit. We opened the door, and the atmosphere was totally different. There were mobiles hanging from the ceiling. It was bright. People were laughing. And then he said, we stood around the incubator. This was years ago. And he said, we cried and we prayed again. But this time, the tears were tears of joy. And I said, well, what was the message for you? He said, I truly do not believe I could have cried those tears of joy if I didn't first cry those tears of sadness. We need to face life directly, but we need to have that openness to learn how God is walking with us so something great can come of it.
And that is, I think, where people really struggle. You know, to embrace that, to truly embrace that. And I think like the opening line of your book, this again is Spiritual Resilience. I'm talking today with Dr. Robert J. Wicks. This book is offered from Franciscan Media. If you have any questions for Dr. Wicks, we invite you on 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And your opening line is spirituality dawns when God becomes as real as the problems and joys we face each day. And it's that juxtaposition of joy and pain together. Am I understanding this correctly?
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think that what we have to do is not make, you know, God a Sunday event, something we pay cursory attention to him and prayer over the meals. Both of those are necessary, and they're part of a rule of prayer once we have a good intention with it. But we're settling for too little. God is more than that.
That's so true. We're talking today with the author of Spiritual Resilience, Dr. Robert J. Wicks. This book, again, is from Franciscan Media. We're going to be going to a break in just a few minutes. Just want to remind you that you can catch up on all your missed episodes of A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras over on breadboxmedia.podbean.com. And we're really excited also today to announce that the iPhone app is available for Breadbox Media. If you're still listening on Real Life Radio app or on the internet, we invite you today to go download either your iOS or Android Breadbox Media app. When we come back from this break, we're going to be looking at true prayer. We're going to be looking at the quote, as patient as Job. Very excited to get some more insight. And I've heard that my whole life. Excited to get some more insight into what that means. We're going to pick up our conversation with Dr. Robert J. Wicks, author of Spiritual Resilience from Franciscan Media. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am so thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Robert J. Wicks, author of Spiritual Resilience and Conversations with a Guardian Angel. We're talking in this segment about spiritual resilience, and then we'll pick up for the end of our show with Conversations with a Guardian Angel, a beautiful novel by Dr. Robert J. Wicks. Again, these are both offered from Franciscan Media. And if you have any questions this morning for Dr. Wicks, we invite you into the conversation at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And over the break, Dr. Wicks and I were talking about resilience and being able to look back at things in the past and how that can help you stay strong spiritually or grow spiritually, which is we're all looking for growth. If you're standing still, you're going backwards. And I was sharing with him one of my greatest fears in life, and I want to just give that fear and let him talk about it. But my fear is when I feel like God is giving me this new plan and this new direction, and then suddenly out of nowhere, a tragedy strikes or the plan kind of gets ripped from under my feet. And I'm left with this fear, doubt, just it takes me to the core of my belief. Because then in that moment, I think, did I really understand God? Is God really listening to me? Or, you know, it's just really a huge fear. And you share in your book the story about a woman whose husband, you know, they're preparing for a big promotion, they're preparing to move, and he has a sudden heart attack and the whole plan changes. Can you address that?
Yes, I still remember that. It's many years ago. I had a very long day at the practice. I had seen patients from early morning to late at night. And I came home, and my wife, I could tell in her face something was up. And she said, sit down. There's something I want to tell you. And I said, Michelle, they only do that in the movies, where they tell you to sit down. I said, what is it? She said, you know, Mary across the street. And I said, oh, yeah, they're getting ready to move. Their garage was filled with boxes. He had just accepted a job with a Fortune 500 company, and it was centered in Florida, so it'd be lovely weather. And well, at any rate, she said, what happened is their daughter came home. Her husband, got in an argument with the daughter. The daughter stormed out. He had chest pain after that. They rushed him to the hospital. And he had a massive MI, a massive heart attack, and in layman's language, his heart just blew up, and he died. And I said, oh, that's tragic. And she said, so she's coming over. I said, oh, because I was exhausted. And I said, just then the doorbell rang, and she came in, and she was very upset. And you could tell, you know, she kept saying, why did God permit this? Why did God permit this? And she knew I was, you know, the neighborhood resident religious fanatic, so she wanted to drop it on me. And I let her go through the whole thing. And I said, you know what? I said, you're a good person, aren't you? She said, yes, I am. I said, you didn't deserve this, you know? She said, no, I didn't. And I said, well, I could see, you know, why you'd be upset. I said, I wouldn't be angry. She said, you wouldn't. And she thought I was going to defend God. And I said, no, I'd be furious. I said, I would just not understand. And I think that's an important thing. People think they can't be angry at God. That's not true. God is much bigger than we are. And if you look in the Hebrew stories and laments, you'll see that, you know, the promised people, the people in covenant with God, you know, felt free to do that. That was a sign of relationship. So she went on and on. And then before she left, I said to her, there's one thing I'd like to say to you before you go. And she says, well, what is it? I said, I hope you won't be angry at God any longer than necessary. And she stuck her chin out, and you could tell that she felt that I was backtracking. And she said, why? I said, because if anyone deserves God's love at this point, it's certainly you. And I hope you can get it as soon as you can. And I think when we're angry, it's great because it forms relationship. The anger that we have at God shows that God is real. But if we hold on to it, it remains a wall between us and God and doesn't allow God to walk with us in ways that we really need during those terribly dark times.
And that's where I think that prayer is so important, because you talk about true prayer in your book, and I'd really love you to define that. Why would you put the word true before the word prayer?
Well, because I think that just like, you know, God, we often have an image of God. It's not the living God. We don't open ourselves to change and grow and see God in great new ways. Children do it. They're able to see God in so many ways. I remember my granddaughter was yelling early in the morning for my daughter, and we were visiting, so we were sleeping across the way, and I said to my wife, why isn't Michelle responding to Caitlin? And my wife looks at me, because we're here. That's why. She expects us to go in. So my wife went in, and she said to me later that Caitlin had her head in her hands and was looking out the window. And when she heard my wife behind her, she said, Mom, look, God is coloring the sky again.
Oh.
I think that whole sense of wonder, you know, where children get lost in things because they feel that natural connection to God is true prayer. True prayer is looking out the window and seeing snow falling on snow and feeling the presence of God. True prayer is like Thomas Merton when he'd hear rain on the roof and feeling it enclosing him while he's reading a psalm. That's true prayer. So prayer can come in many, many forms, and we need to be open to it. We need, and the way I think we can open ourselves is by having a rule of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And a rule of prayer is what they had in the 4th and 5th century, the desert fathers and mothers, the Abbas and Ammas of the desert. They left the cities when Christianity became illegal because they didn't want their faith domesticated. And what they did is they developed a rule of prayer. And we today, if we want to have true prayer, prayer that it's honest, it's open, it's alive, that's not separate, we need that rule of prayer. And people say, well, what's in a rule of prayer? Well, liturgy, where we meet God in the Eucharist, in the Word, and in each other. Faith sharing, like we're doing now.
Yeah.
Formal prayer, like the Rosary. I hope we're not too sophisticated for such a great prayer. Reflections during the day, because someone once said, life is something that happens while we're busy doing something else. Spiritual reading, mm-hmm. including scripture, where we look at the book and we say, what is this book saying? And it says back to us, who is it that's asking? As well as journaling, contemplation, and other forms of prayer that allow our day to be a pilgrimage rather than simply ho-drum activities.
Mm. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking about the example we just shared about that woman whose husband suddenly passed away. And I'm sure there was times that she was yelling at God. And I've always said to people, like, that women will say, oh, I feel bad. I was yelling at God. I'm like, well, at least you're talking to him. And talking with God, conversation with God is prayer. And like you said earlier, he's got pretty big shoulders and he can take our upsetness, our furious, our anger. At least you're talking to him and not walking away. Like I had a baby that I lost through miscarriage, an ectopic that nearly took my life. And I prayed and prayed to get pregnant again. And I did almost a year later. It was ecstatic. 2 months later, I lost that child. And at that moment, I stopped praying. I stopped talking to God. I didn't even yell at him. I just said, well, obviously you're not listening, so I'm going to stop talking.
And it's very natural. It's very natural. My daughter, who has 13 levels of her spine fused, and 9 bar up her back, and was almost died in her second pregnancy. These are parts that we all experience. The question, and it's very natural to want to run away, to forget, but it's that very, very pain that can open up doors that could not be opened by success and good results. Everybody likes success. Everybody likes wonderful things, and that's fine. Enjoy them. Mm-hmm. But also recognize what the darkness is opening for us as well.
And I got pretty lonely. And then I realized that really it was God's grace. It was really his grace that brought me back to praying again, because I realized I missed talking with God and that he did listen, because I didn't die. And I, by all accounts, should have when I went into surgery for the ectopic. You talk about grace as well in this book. Again, this is Spiritual Resilience by Dr. Robert J. Wicks from Franciscan Media. What is the role of grace in our spiritual resilience?
Well, I think it's a recognition that everything isn't on our shoulders. I think the importance in grace is to be open to it in many, many ways. One theologian said, grace can never be possessed, so it must be welcomed again and again. Brother David Stendhal Rast put it in terms of gratefulness. He said, we often leave the house with a list, and on that list is what we'll be grateful for. Throw away this mental list and be open. And that's being open to grace. That's what gratitude does for us.
And that word gratitude, you know, I spend a lot of time in prayer of petition and not so much in praise and thanksgiving. And we know that those prayers of praise and thanksgiving do change not the circumstance, but our heart. We're talking today with Dr. Robert J. Wicks. He is the author of Spiritual Resilience from Franciscan Media. When we pick up after these messages, we're going to look at his fiction book, his wonderful novel, Conversations with a Guardian Angel, perfect for our feast day on the Guardian Angels. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am joined this morning by the author of Conversations with a Guardian Angel by Dr. Robert J. Wicks from Franciscan Media. He's also the author of Spiritual Resilience, which we spent the first half of our show speaking about. But now we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about Conversations with a Guardian Angel. If you have any questions for Dr. Wicks, the phone lines are open 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Or during the break, I will check Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page to see if you have any questions or comments on there. Oh, and while you're on there, go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page or reconciletoyou.com and enter this week's giveaway. Franciscan Media has very graciously offered us a copy of Spiritual Resilience as well as a copy of Conversations with a Guardian Angel. Both so worth the read, your time. We were just talking during the break how reasonably priced they are, and I think these books go so incredibly well together. I read Spiritual Resilience, and then the very next book I read was Conversations with a Guardian Angel, and I just saw how you took the real life experiences and weaved them into a very relatable, authentic character in Conversations with a Guardian Angel. Can you tell us a little bit about the plot behind this book?
Yeah, Conversations with a Guardian Angel, the plot is set on two themes. One theme is the sense of loss, encountering loss, and all of us have to encounter loss at some point in our life. And the character, who's fairly strong, still experiences what everyone experiences, because I think when we experience loss, we often feel it's a lack in us in our response. And the other is, I wanted people to have an enjoyable way to learn about strengthening their spiritual life. Physician and novelist Walker Percy, in one of his novels, wrote, "What if life is like a plane and you miss it?" And I think it's so easy to miss our life. And I wanted to help people sense resilience from a different way. We all feel pressured, and particularly when the pressures sneak up. Marshall McLuhan, the author and media theorist, once said, if the temperature of the bath rises 1 degree every 10 minutes, how will the bather know when to scream? We don't know when to scream today, and it slips up on us. Even I do darkness for a living in terms of working with pretty difficult situations, and if I'm not careful, I feel it. I remember coming home from work one day, and my wife said, "Well, how are you doing?" And all of a sudden, I said, "Awful." And she said, "Why? Why, just something happened?" I said, "No, I don't think so." And she said, "Well, why did you say it then?" I said, "Because when you asked me, I just felt like crying." And then as I looked at the day, the week, the year, I realized I had absorbed people's despair, their angers, their jadedness, their fears, their sense of sarcasm, their sense of projection. And I think that you had asked me during the break, you said, Well, where does patience fit into this? And I think the best tip I can give you is from contemplative Thomas Merton. He was in his abbey at Gethsemane, and he was walking past a day room, and he saw an old monk, 40 years a monk, and he looked down. So Merton went in and said, "You okay, brother?" He said, "No, I'm not. I'm losing my joy, maybe even my faith." And if he said that to me, I think, well, what do you say to a monk of 40 years? Merton gently put his hand on the man's shoulder, smiled at him, looked into his eyes and said, "Brother, courage comes and goes. Hold on for the next supply." We need patience.
I love Thomas Merton.
We need perseverance, and we certainly need courage.
So, and as you remind
the plot of the book is based on that whole theme of loss, what we do with it, and also how to build and deepen a spiritual life, and how to do it in encounter with a guardian angel that symbolizes for many of us gentleness and clarity.
You reminded me that I did tell my listeners that we would be talking about the patience of Job. And there was something that you mentioned. This is back again in Spiritual Resilience book. I'm just going to pop there for just 1 second. You use the quote, as patient as Job, which I've heard, as I said, most of my life. But you remind us that there is just a few chapters where he's kind of accepting, but he spends much more time complaining about the circumstances.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's the reality. So that whole line is really, you know, when you look at that line, as patient as Job, it sort of doesn't fit, does it?
I mean, no.
I think that maybe as patient as God, maybe that's what we should have used as the line. But no, yeah. So I think it's okay for us. We need to give ourselves permission to do that, permission to be upset. And then what happens is we get a chance then to see things differently. When I was in South Africa, I was giving a presentation on resilience to those who had worked in apartheid, and one of the social workers at the break said, look, I got to leave what I'm doing. I said, well, what do you do? She said, I work with women who have been sexually abused and raped. And she said, and they're poor and usually single parents. And when I go with them to court, they usually have to take a day off from work, which they could ill afford. And then we get to the court, and the judge looks at the papers and says, oh, I haven't had a chance to read them. You'll have to make another appointment and come back. She said, I feel so helpless. I'm helpless. I'm a failure. And I said to her after a little pause to let the emotion set, I said, well, who was with this woman other than you at that moment? She said, well, no one. And I said, would it be an exaggeration to say that you were closer to her at that moment than anyone else in the world? She said, no, it wouldn't be. And I said in the gentlest voice I could muster, and you want to give that up? And I said to her, don't you realize we're not called to success, we're called to faithfulness. And it's how we open ourselves to be faithful, and it includes praying in a way that we really tussle with God at times. And I think that that's good, because then you know, we're not just praying as if God doesn't exist. I remember one rabbi saying to me, when I asked him about his prayer, he said, well, I'll tell you, we're not holy asparagus growing to the heavens. We fight with God. God is real for us.
That's, gosh, I just got very emotional when you were speaking, because I've been really struggling to remain faithful in my ministry work and my mission. And I asked God this week to just give me a little sign that I'm doing what he's asking me to do. And the word fidelity, just really quickly, I walk the perimeter of my house praying the rosary. I go outside where there's no distractions, and it's just where God has called me to pray in this last few months. And as I was praying this week, a big, huge Mack truck went by with the word fidelity on the side of it, just to remain faithful. I was like, oh, okay, Lord, that's interesting. Thanks for the Mack truck. Thank you for letting it go by and not hit me. And then, you know, as you're speaking, you just spoke the words of you know, the Holy Spirit into my heart. That just to remain faithful. I'm not called to be successful. And who am I to gauge success?
Yep, that's
God's
right.
Work.
I remember in the Conversations with a Guardian Angel book, I tell a story that's actually true about someone going into a graveyard and seeing these gigantic monuments of a general and someone else who was famous. And he was very impressed. And as he was leaving the cemetery, he saw this very small gravestone. You know, and it was for a 26-year-old woman, obviously left there by her wife, by his, you know, his her husband, you know, put it. And it said on it is, everywhere she went, she brought flowers.
Wow.
Simplicity. And that's what you're doing in doing this show. That's what you're doing in the rosary. That's what many of your listeners are doing in their small efforts. Simplicity. And it's powerful.
It is powerful. And actually, that's one of the quotes I had underlined to talk about from the book. Again, we're talking with Dr. Robert J. Wicks, author of Conversations with the Guardian Angel, here so serendipitously today on the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And you write, without the spirit of simplicity, it is very hard for a guardian angel to make herself or himself known. People who believe they have all the answers are full of themselves and don't have room for an angel.
That's right. I'm glad you quoted that. Yeah.
I could quote this whole book. It's just one of the things about fiction is that we think, oh, fiction, you know, what can we learn from fiction? But I think, as you said earlier, it is a way for us to kind of non-threatening way for us to contemplate things of faith in a story. I mean, Jesus used stories. Why would we not use stories as well?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And even as I wrote it, I thought, well, this probably is not going to sell as many as the nonfiction books. But I just felt if I can just get to some people who might normally not read a book like this, mm-hmm. who have gone through loss, who really want to know how to build a spiritual life. Because people often say, you need a strong spiritual life. But then they never say, well, what do you do? And hopefully this book helps to do that.
It is a, I love, you just made a perfect point that giving somebody a novel is a wonderful way to evangelize without them feeling pressured that you're trying to force your faith on them. You're just sharing a story and they can take it for what they feel they're called to take it for.
I trust their judgment. I trust people who read this book will take, you know, if they say, oh, this doesn't fit or I don't agree, let it go. I trust people that where they're at, they will find what they need and they'll take it, and that's what they should have.
Amen. We'll be right back with Dr. Robert J. Wicks here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm speaking this morning with the incredibly insightful and delightful, I didn't mean to rhyme, that just happened, it happens all the time in my head, Dr. Robert J. Wicks, author of Spiritual Resilience and Conversations with a Guardian Angel, which we're talking about in this segment on the Feast of the Guardian Angels. I just think that is so cool. That's going to be making me smile all day, as well as this book made me smile. Now, it's not a light topic. There's a great loss in this book, but yet there's so much spiritual fruit that comes from that when we open our hearts to it. And why pick a guardian angel to be the messenger here?
Well, because I think a guardian angel has the central virtue of the what I spoke about before, the desert fathers and mothers. There's a virtue from the desert that is so elusive. It's the cardinal virtue. And even if we want it, it's hard to get it. Let me give you an illustration. My daughter is a social worker. And she works with severely injured returning Iraq and Afghan vets in Wisconsin. And she will often do social work things to her children. So at the end of a meal, she'll say something like, well, what are your signature strengths? What are your gifts that you that God has given you to plant to share with others? Now, when she asked this, there were 6 and 8. So they roll their eyes and they say, oh boy. But they know they can't leave the table until they do the exercise. So they do it. And they go on and on about what gifts they think God has given them. And my son-in-law is quiet. And all of a sudden he speaks up and says, well, what about humility? And the youngest says, well, what exactly is it? And he said, well, get the dictionary. So she runs off, gets the dictionary. He opens it up and reads the definition of humility. And he says, now, who do you think of when I read that definition? And my two granddaughters and my daughter chime up, Mom, referring to my wife. And he says, well, what about Pop? And they both, all three of them, shake their heads from side to side and say, no, not Pop. So the reality is, even if we want humility, it is very hard to have. I think we need to search for humility. I think humility is worth searching for and seeking. And humility basically is seeing both our gifts and our growing edges with a sense of equanimity. And so that we are able to really be open to life. And people say to me, well, why is humility so important? And I say to them, it's tied to perspective. It's not the amount of darkness in the world that matters. It's not the amount of darkness in the country that matters, or in your family, or even in yourself that matters. It's how you stand in that darkness. And humility makes a difference, because if you sit in that darkness with a faithfulness to a desire to reach out to others, if you sit in that darkness with a faithfulness to yourself and self-love, self-care, and greater self-knowledge, and if you sit in that darkness with a faithfulness to God, those three faithfulness to others, self, and God, you will be different. And they say, well, why? Because when you take knowledge and you add the humility you experience, when you're faithful in darkness, you get wisdom. And when you take that wisdom and add it to compassion, you get love. And love is at the heart of life, and God is love. So humility is very, very important in terms of centering us and having us see the gifts that God has given us that we can rejoice in and freely share with others.
Oh, and he gives us gifts, those are within us, but I love that he also gives us guardian angels. And I have just recently kind of allowed myself to recognize that they're not just there to protect me, but that they're super intelligent. And as we would say here in Massachusetts, they're super smart. And they are and
yeah,
they're there to light and guide.
You start to begin to recognize, you know, that if you feel a presence of God with you, then you feel a sense of an ability to share it. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Because when you have within you that sense of God, sanctity is magnetic. A number of years ago, Archbishop Desmond Tutu was speaking at General Theological Seminary in New York to the Anglican and Episcopalian seminarians. Halfway through his presentation, one of the seminarians sitting out in the audience nudged the dean who was sitting next to him and pointed up and said, Desmond Tutu is a holy man. And the dean looked at him and said, well, how do you know that Desmond Tutu is holy? And the young seminarian didn't even blink. He said, I know that Desmond Tutu is holy because when I'm with Desmond Tutu, I feel holy.
Wow.
And we need to ask ourselves, how do people feel when they're with us? Do they feel this openness where they can rest their angers, their questions, their burdens, their disagreements? Or do they feel our need to be right, our need to control the situation, our need to be heard, our need to be seen as attractive or brilliant? What do people experience? There was a fellow that once said a number of years ago, they may forget what you said, but they will never forget how you made them feel. I think with the sense of a guardian angel with us, we can ask ourselves the right questions before we barge on in our interactions with others.
I would love to read a little paragraph from your book. Again, we're talking today with Dr. Robert J. Wicks, author of Conversations with a Guardian Angel from Franciscan Media. And I think that this just sums up what we're talking about beautifully, about their guardian angels, that they are always with us. And that you write here, we are not alone. In both small and large ways, when confronted with questions, anger, or anxiety, in moments of great joy and deep peace with people we have just met or those who have long held a special place in our lives, there is much to uncover, understand, and reflect upon so that we don't feel the impulse to just react to what is around or in us. Instead, with heavenly guidance, we can live each moment of our lives in ways that are truly spiritually mindful. And the words spiritually mindful are in italics, which just, you know, screams for me to ask you, what's a spiritually mindful person look like?
Okay. spiritually mindful, we're going to look very different because of our personalities, but being spiritually mindful is the same as being prayerful. What does it mean? It means being in the now, being in the present, with your eyes wide open to what God is doing and saying to you at that moment. And I think the problem with us is we don't experience God in many ways, and we say, gee, I wish I had these experiences like the saints, because we really predict ahead of time what is a message from God. Thomas Merton, in terms of contemplation, used to say, don't sit in the silence waiting for God to speak. Instead, let the silence speak for God. And I think what he was saying essentially was that what happens is we often go to prayer with our agenda. And unless God answers our agenda, then we feel God is not there. When often in spiritual darkness, what is happening is God is taking the initiative to make new room for us to experience God in new ways, possibly deeper ways. And we have to have that openness. We have to have that spiritual mindfulness, or what I would use the term prayerfulness, so we can see this. And I think that's what the guardian angel really tried to help, Jack in the story with, to see things in new ways. In the story, I also try to point out four different types of friends that help us to do this. First, the prophet, who says, what voices are guiding you in life. Second, the cheerleader that is sympathetic to us. Third is the harasser or teaser, who helps us because on the way to taking God seriously and important things in our life seriously, sometimes we do a detour and take ourselves too seriously. And the final friend is the inspirational friend. And this is like the guardian angel in the book. She calls us to be all that we can be without embarrassing us that we are where we are. And that's a great gift to us and a gift that we should share with others.
Wow. I honestly just can't recommend this book enough. Conversations with the Guardian Angel by Dr. Robert J. Wicks from Franciscan Media. Also, we talked this morning about spiritual resilience. These books go beautifully together. If you're looking to really reach out to a friend, you're looking for something to do, something to offer to them, I recommend Spiritual Resilience, 30 Days to Refresh Your Soul, and Conversations with a Guardian Angel. We're running out of time, Dr. Wicks. I'd love to just get your final thoughts for this morning and where we can find you to keep up with your writing.
Yes, my site is Robert J. Wicks, WICKS.com, and you can see what's there as well as contact me. And then Franciscan Media has their website. I think the bottom line I'd like you to take from today is a sense of respect. Respect for yourself, respect for others, and respect for God. I had a patient once that was sexually abused as a child, saw as an adult, made great progress, and I said, how did you get to this point? And she said, you mean you don't know? And I said, not exactly. She said, the first time I came in here to see you, I simply watched how you sat with me, and then I began sitting with myself in the same way. Respect.
Wow.
Recognize Imago Dei, being made in the image and likeness of God, that God respects and loves us, and then we will do the same with ourselves and with others.
What an honor this morning to spend this time with Dr. Robert J. Wicks, again, author of Conversations with a Guardian Angel and Spiritual Resilience from Franciscan Media. Thank you for spending this morning with us as well. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Red Box Media.